残したこの火種は離さない離さないから、ずっと曖昧物語、正解なんてなくたって踏み出すようになったら、どうかしてるって言うけど、どうにかしてあげるよ、どうなったらいいかさえわからなくなるけど、
you're listening to Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So how was the last couple weeks, Chris?
Making it.
Making it. Anything fun happening?
I don't know.
Besides some exciting news that we're going to be getting into?
It's been a big blur. A lot of work.
A lot of work, waifu game, and Genshin, I'm assuming.
No.
No Genshin.
I've been breaking on that for right now.
Yeah. I missed my dailies yesterday. That's how bad something else got. Been playing Elden Ring. That's been a lot of fun. And streaming that one, that's been a lot of fun too. So if you have not already, twitch.tv/otakuspirited is where we're at. Definitely give us a follow over there, because it's been a lot of fun streaming and talking to people and them watching me get my butt kicked in Elden Ring, because it's my first Souls game. So it's a learning curve and extremely frustrating, but gosh, and it's very addicting. It's very addicting. I mean, because it's like one of the aspects of there's so much to look at and so much to do that it's like overwhelming, but at the same time, again, extremely frustrating playing that game because everything is stupidly punishing and cheap.
I watched Andrew go and fight a titan, kill wolves, and at some point, I clicked on there and watched you go and try to take over a carriage. And then you got mad because you looted the trailer, got killed, then went back to go and loot the trailer, and there wasn't anything off there, on there. So my assumption was that because you already looted it, and even though you died, you didn't have to loot it again, but
I guess I missed looting it the first time, because that's what my assumption was. But
yeah, you actually, if you go back in your stream, you can actually see your character lift up the lid on the carriage when you opened up the treasure chest, and then you got attacked and you ran away.
Right, but did it, because you have to open it and then you have to loot it. And I think when I opened it, I went to hit the prompt to loot it, but it was grayed out because I got attacked.
Ah. I just seen you open up the chest, so I assume.
Yeah, that's
you
what I seen
it.
Too. So I don't know. Maybe it poofed. I don't know. I've given up on that chest at this point. I do know that you can.
It didn't look like you gave up on it. You went back to those guys several times.
At this point.
Yeah. Well, that was when you were actually doing that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun points in there. Like when I posted on Twitter, I was fighting some random dudes, and suddenly this ram from like a mile away decided that he wanted to join in and attack me, and I'm like, what in the world is this ram fighting me for? Somebody had tweeted back saying it's because they were jealous of Ram. I'm like, well, then you tell Ram that. Ram and Ram. Funny. I get it. But yeah, that's been a lot of fun. I've been enjoying that. We're pretty close to affiliate on Twitch. So that's fantastic. So again, make sure to support us on there if you can, if you have time to watch the streams. Like I said, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how long that's going to take me to really kind of... I'm curious at this point if I'm just going to get tired of it. Or like... Because there's a feeling that... Like, it's a beautiful game. It's got so much in it. So much customization. So much to do. But it also has that feeling of like, I spend a lot of time in it and I don't feel like I've accomplished anything. It's got that feeling going for it. I think that was the same feeling I had with
Skyrim.
Skyrim. Yeah, definitely. Red Skyrim Dead. Had that feeling.
Pretty much all the open world games.
Well, no, because like I think certain games, like I did Far Cry 3, and it felt like I was completing things. It felt like I was getting upgrades. It felt like I was improving. Or this one, unless I look up a guide to find out where there's something specific I can farm, I don't feel like I get anywhere. And that's a sad feeling, is if you don't know where things are at, you just feel like you're just wandering, and you don't, and it doesn't tell you anything. Like, that game literally tells you nothing, and you're just supposed to figure things out, which is, it's, you can say it's fun, but at the same time, when you wander again for 5 hours and realize your character is nowhere better than it was when you first started, it's a bad feeling. Like, it's a seriously bad feeling. But other than that, yeah, it's been fun. A lot of the randomness is pretty fun. The bosses are super cheap, and they punish you because they know what you're doing. They know when you're pressing a direction. They know when you hit your potions, and they always punish you for everything you do, which is super cheap, but that's been in video games for a long time. It's just they learned how to hide it a lot better. And plus, with this game, it's literally death when they do punish you, so yeah.
I've seen quite a few massive swords come down and just impale you quite a few times.
You're just
times,
done.
So.
Yeah, you're just done. You're dead. And there's so many different attack sequences. You can't really memorize them all. I've yet to figure out fight where I memorize all of it.
I did find the weird spider-looking dude with like 15 arms with swords. There was a sword in each one except for one that had a shield. And it was like, okay, what's the point in the shield?
He doesn't need it. They attack so dang aggressively and have zero stamina issues, unlike you. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, that's fun, and I will continue that. That's my new mess around game whenever I'm editing videos and stuff, so that's been fun, and so. Yeah, but other than that, it has been an extremely mixed emotion week, for sure. Other than that, yes, this Discord has been a lot of fun, too, as well. If you have not already, we have a link on otakuspear.com. There's a link to our Discord. Just go to the socials link, and it's down there. You can just click on it. It's also on my Twitter page, Otaku Spirited. But, yeah, been a lot of fun there. Still playing the waifu game. I think it's slowed down a little bit. I think I'm at the point now on that game where I'm just trying to get my three stats to 888, 999, 10-10. And that's been extremely time-consuming to get to. So, I don't know. I think at this point I'm just kind of flirting with low-level characters. That way I can get items to give to my characters to level them up, which is slow, but that is what it is. But yeah, other than that, it's been fun hanging out with people, talking to them, getting in a voice chat with some people, streaming some stuff together. So, yeah, just off and on. But the other kind of exciting thing that this week has kind of happened, there was two extremely, extremely exciting pieces of news this week. I know the first one we're probably going to be the most excited to talk about. But yeah, the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you, because it's important to us. First bit. They announced the Spice and Wolf, Chris.
I know.
The 15th anniversary of Spice and Wolf. We had an announcement for the big event they were doing on the 25th, because that's the 15th anniversary. And they said they were going to announce something. And so, of course, we were kind of a little excited, like, okay, what could they be announcing that they're announcing? Like, what would be that significant? They're going to do a reprint? Are they going to do another tome? Are they going to do a cool figure? Or is it going to be another VR game? I went in with expectations it was going to be a VR game, honestly, because I didn't want to be let down. But then, of course, there was the, I would be happy if it was a continuation anime. And then my pie in the sky was a Fruits Basket remake from the beginning to end, like do a full anime adaptation. So the good news is the announcement was that they are going to be starting up a new anime project. Now, the big question mark here is, well, some sites were reporting it as this is a, well, Crunchyroll was reporting it as this is a new project. ANN, I think, was reporting, and a couple other sources were reporting that it was going to be a continuation. This is going to be a third season on. No, Crunchyroll was saying it was a third project, insinuating it was a third season. The tweet that they sent out from their actual account, even Spicy Tales, which is their production group that does this VR stuff, they were literally saying, this is a completely new anime to be produced. that kind of tells me this is a start over.
I hope so. I really do. Deserves it. It really does.
Completely new doesn't really say we're going to start a new season. Completely new makes me think that this is a start over. Now, why that's a good thing if it's a start over is there's a couple things there. One, there was a couple things that they kind of changed with the anime adaptation of the light novel. Plus, they also skipped a whole volume in order to complete it the way they did with the two seasons. And we technically need a start over for the case of, obviously, there's going to be a visual difference there. And it's kind of hard to get people to watch the first two seasons when it looks a little different. Also, there's a lot of inner dialogue that they missed in the adaptation that they could probably fix a little bit. There's a, like I noted before, when I read the light novel, Lawrence is like super in his head their first meeting, and there's a lot of context in there that is kind of missed. But the other big thing is if they start over, there's a really good chance that this is a thing that they're wanting to do a full adaptation, a Fruits Basket kind of thing, which I would be super, super thrilled for. Agree, disagree?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, this is one of those things that I believe a year ago or so we had talked about. I think it was we were talking about the tome or something like that, and we were pointing out the oddness in the fact that these companies, for whatever reason, none of them are basically banking on a remake of Spice and Wolf would be an absolute boon to whoever did it. And the tome, I believe, was a great example of, because I didn't they like sell out like two times or something like that? There was something odd about it.
Yeah,
they had a
print of it, yeah.
It was one of those things that's this, if this doesn't tell you that there is an absolute fandom for this
property,
I don't know what will. And they need to strike while the iron is hot and get this done, because they're just leaving money on the table.
I agree with that, because it's that aspect of it always sells and there's always products there. Like, of any other, like, the only other one that I can think of is probably Full Metal Alchemist. It's like, Full Metal Alchemist to this day, they're still making, they just announced recently they're going to do, like, two new live-action films. And it's like, that's just a property that just keeps selling. They can just keep making merchandise, they can keep making properties out of it, and it'll keep selling. And it always seemed like Spice and Wolf was another one of those ones. It seemed like every at least 6 months to a year, there was a new figure coming out. And it probably kept selling. They're not going to keep making figures unless it just keeps selling. They keep making novels. They have a whole other series of novels that's coming out, Parchment and Wolf. It's a property that just never goes away. And so you think this is something that can probably make money, or at least keep the awareness up for the product itself, for the reprints, and for, yeah, Parchment and Wolf and going on. Yeah, that was my other concern, was like, what if they're going to do an adaptation for Parchment Wolf? That would probably make me really mad, because I'd be like, damn it, now I got to finish reading the light novel because they're doing the next story, which really is annoying kind of. But yeah, it's super exciting. It was like the event, the announcement point was like going to be at like 2 a.m. in the morning for us, because that would be like evening for Japan. So I had to like, I was considering staying up just to wait for the announcement to happen. But I'm like, no, because then I'm going to want to wake up the next day and I want to do a recording for a video. And I don't want bloodshed eyes, so I'm just going to set my alarm for 2 a.m. I woke up, I'm literally laying there, and I have my phone on my face, and I'm scrolling through, going to their PR Twitter, and all of a sudden I just see it. And I'm like, my heart started racing. I'm like, oh, please tell me this is not a dream. I sent a DM to somebody else, and I kind of closed it. It took me a while to go to sleep, and then I woke up the next day, and I'm like, oh, please don't let that be a dream. And I'm looking at Discord. Discord's going crazy. So I'm like, okay, cool. It wasn't a dream. Let's go. Yes. I was excited. And then I finally get cleaned up, turn on the camera, and then he goes, yes! It's like I finally get to yell, like, yes! My dogs are all barking and freaking out. I think this is probably, like, the most exciting news I think I could ever ask for. Like, there's Spice and Wolf, another adaptation, or at least another season, or a new adaptation. Please, I hope it's a full adaptation. Because we don't really have any more information besides that. That statement, completely new anime to be produced. They said they're going to be in more information later. They obviously note that this is something that's going to be down the road. This isn't something like we'll see it fall. This is probably going to be something that's like a summer next year, which is kind of depressing, but it is what it is. But this is probably, I can't think of anything that I wanted more. Like, now that we have this, like, what else? What else is there? Like, I don't know, like...
No, it'll just be the announcement of Herbs and Wolf.
Herbs and Wolf.
It'll be the prequel to Spice and Wolf.
There you go, Herbalist and Wolf. Atelier and Wolf. Yeah.
No, Herbs and Wolf.
Because they're going to make an Atelier.
Because Herbs and Wolf fits in with the Herbs, Spice, Parchment.
Why can't it be Skins and Wolf?
Because that's what parchment is.
Well, parchment is paper.
It's paper, but it's made out of skins.
They can make parchment out of things besides leather.
It's sheepskin.
They can make it. They can make it other ways. Mine showed us that we can make it other ways.
Yes, this is true.
Jeez, when do you think they make paper? What time period are we thinking that we're setting in?
Well, I was just going because you didn't want to use another spice. So because otherwise I would have said salt and wolf, and that wouldn't have worked.
It'd be salt.
See,
and fish and wolf. No, she likes apples and wolf.
Apples is something that the wolf eats. It doesn't, it's not necessarily.
They can eat spice too? What are we doing here?
I don't know.
Where are we?
We went off on some random.
I was asking what else we wanted besides Spice and Wolf. I don't. It's one of those things where we've been complaining about it for so long. We need something new to complain about on a regular basis.
Yes, and my complaint would be if we got Herbs and Wolf.
I think I remember this. Somebody on Twitter was saying we need. I need to find. I think somebody actually posed that same question of like, now they have this. It's like, what else? What else do we need to fight for? And it's like. A monster remake, I guess, so that at least it's out of licensing hell and everybody can watch it.
Mayu.
I think that's the only
Mayu,
way that...
please.
I think that's the only way we're ever going to get a remake or a release of Monster is if they just redo it. I think that's... I guess the release of Macross, finally, and a full release of all the Macrosses. That's still kind of up there. I've heard they resolve some stuff, but I haven't seen anything, so I'm obviously, but nothing's been fixed.
Wasn't there something that was in a licensing hell and that we were complaining about recently?
Monster?
No.
Katana Gatari?
That one, probably.
Well, that's not licensed hell, it's just it needs to be rescued.
No.
I think the only one that's actually in hell is Monster.
Isn't there one that's locked by G-Kids or something like that?
No, the only ones that I'm aware of is Monster and Macross. Harmony Gold. They kind of screwed up that license pretty badly. But I don't know of any other one that's got that kind of an issue.
No, because that which one is on Amazon?
Which one's on Amazon?
Yeah,
everything's been picked up by Sentai. That's what's on Amazon.
No, I meant the one. There was one that I thought Macross was the one that went to Amazon. Amazon ended up saving that one.
No, they picked up like the original Macross that was on there. I think they got that through Harmony Gold, probably. So that doesn't really fix anything, unless right. You're talking about the Symphogear. I guess maybe that's
Symphogear because that was the other one that I was thinking of, and I was like, no, that can't be it. I don't know.
I haven't really heard anything on Symphogear. I don't think there's anything wrong with Symphogear, but it was on Amazon during that whole Amazon strike thing. But yeah. I don't know. I guess other than that, probably I was just thinking on a minute ago. Yeah, I might have to think on it. Like I might have to make it. I did make a video that was talking about like rescue licenses and yeah, like Katana Gatari and Harengu Monster, Cheeky Angel. A lot of those other ones are kind of stuck out there. But as for like remakes or just full makes, maybe Claymore. Doing a readaptation of that, or at least fixing the ending and continuing that would be great because there's more real fantastic stuff in there. Noragami Continue, obviously, would be another one, big one for me, but...
I would say Berserk, but, I mean, technically, we got a remake of that.
That is true. Like, a full remake of Berserk properly, not CGI, would probably be the next one that I think people would probably be asking for. Good point.
Like that's, yeah, the main
get MAPPA to do it. Somebody just give MAPPA a whole bunch of money and tell them to stay away from their new CGI studio.
And they'd come out and they'd say, you know, we know we just did this, but it was a joke. It really was. It's joke. Here's the real one.
It's joke. Yeah.
It's joke.
And that's going to be like something they had to be very careful with, because like I think even with what was it, Orange or whatever studio that was doing the other stuff, it's like even if they come back out and say that they're going to continue it on, it's like, no, just stop. Like, you don't disgrace that story anymore. It's not a good idea right now. But yeah, that's exciting news though. I'm real jazzed for that. Again, we don't have any additional information besides it happening again. This is me speculating that it's going to be a start over. It's just, it seems like the wording is putting it in a way that this is going to be a start over. And if it's a start over, I do hope this is something that continues on. Again, if they want to get past like that third or fourth volume, which again, I think they've skipped 3 and ended on 4, I think. That's a hefty series right there. That's what, 7 seasons? It's a long series. It's a long series, and I'd be perfectly fine with them doing the whole thing, but that's a big ask. I mean, even with Fruits Basket, that only went, what, 4 seasons? I mean, that wasn't that long, admittedly enough. But I mean, that was like 75 episodes total, right?
No, I don't think we got that high, but
each season was 24 episodes, and it was 3 seasons, right? Or was the final season only 12 episodes? No, that was 24 episodes.
I thought
too.
You were saying cores. I thought it was like 4 cores, but it's been a while, so.
Yeah, I want to say it was 6 cores. But yeah. Anyways. But no, Fruits Baskets was only, not Fruits Basket, Spice and Wolf was 2 seasons, but they were only single core though, right? Yeah, because that was only like 24 episodes, if I remember correctly. So that was okay then. Yeah. So that was technically like 3 volumes worth in 2 cores. So that wouldn't be that long then. That wouldn't be that long. That would only be about say that'd be about the same, a little bit longer than what Fruits Basket would have been. So yeah, that's not too big of an ask. But again, technically, it all depends on how much is in the head, how much they need to kind of adapt. Fight scenes technically take a little longer or a little quicker to run through in an episode than, say, a lot of dialogue, which technically light novels are very dialogue heavy. So, yeah, 25 for first season of Fruits Basket, 25 for second season, and then 13 for the final. And then, of course, we have the OVA, so.
5 yeah. Cores.
That would have only been about 63 episodes for Fruits Basket. So yeah, anyways, I hope it's a full adaptation. We will, as soon as I get more information, I'll definitely be letting you guys know. We'll either have it here on this discussional podcast episode or a discussional podcast episode or a video on YouTube. So youtube.com/otakuspirit. So we did have other news. I guess we can jump into the other super big news, which was, yeah, this morning, we got a little bit of an interesting tidbit from Crunchyroll. Well, technically also from Funimation as well. And that was that we finally got an answer as to what's going to happen with the Sony buyout and these 2 anime distribution websites. And that is, Funimation is pretty much moving their entire catalog. Well, most of their catalog. I think that at the current time, they say they're going to move everything over there. But right now, the focus is on, quote-unquote, 80% of their most popular titles to be on Crunchyroll by the end of March. So note the most popular titles. That doesn't mean 80% of their catalog. It just means 80% of their most popular titles. Yeah. So it looks like, I guess I mean, we threw out a couple of theories. One was going to be that they're going to have like a Sony app and everything was going to be in that Sony app for, you know, along with all their other properties, which would be like, basically Amazon Prime, where you're having to search through, you know, Tony's Got Talent and My Hillbilly Family to find where the anime is. But no, they're still keeping it in its own separate anime type thing. But the interesting thing was, yeah, again, going on my theory on that, Crunchyroll was a bigger brand, a more known entity in the anime streaming sphere. So they chose to keep the Crunchyroll name. Funimation is going bye-bye. So I think Funimation as a company, or Funimation.com, is going to probably remain there, and I'll give my reasons why later. But when did you find out about this? I kind of let you know when you came by for lunch, and I was like, so it's happening. And you're like, yeah, I've seen that, but
it popped up on my because Discord can't leave me alone for 5 minutes, it's constantly beeping at me, and that one was one of the ones that popped up on the screen.
Did somebody at you, or do you just have your thing on?
I have it on, and it drives me crazy all day, and I tend to ignore it, but every once in a while I pick it up because it has a similar buzz as the text messages, and so every once in a while I do actually glance at it, and that in particular one, when I glanced at it, they were talking about Funimation being soaked up by Crunchyroll, so.
Yeah. Good? Bad? Are you hot on this?
Oh, yeah. This is the weird thing about it. I did an entire diatribe as to my quote-unquote speculation, because I do think that there is more to this than meets the eye. But
Transformers?
Yeah. When it comes down to it, the ultimate thing is I agree. The scales were weighed. Let's just put it that way. And Crunchyroll won the scale, per se.
Well, so, we never ever hear Funimation go, we have this many subscribers. Crunchyroll's always like, yeah, we just hit 4 mil. Yeah, we hit 5 mil. You just never hear Funimation gloat. So that kind of makes you, when you don't gloat, there's a reason. That's like World of Warcraft. They used to gloat a lot, and then at some point they stopped gloating.
Yeah,
I wonder why.
There's a lot more to this than I.
Don't say it again. I'm going to say Transformers again.
then we probably perceive.
Thank you.
But no, I I had mentioned when I was talking to the guys on Discord, I said I would love to be a fly on the wall in these meetings. There is so much going on in this thing that I think it would be fascinating to see what's behind the scenes. And when it comes down to it, I can see that Crunchyroll was the better decision. Now, I do, however, one of our users had asked if I believed that this was this a surprise, and I said yes and no.
This early, yes.
This early is my surprise.
They'd be milking this double dip for a while.
I suspected, and this actually goes more into what I was talking about earlier, that there's more going on behind the scenes. I believe that this being hastened in any way, shape, or form says a lot more about what's going on behind the scenes than we want to admit, or than they want to admit to. I think it's fascinating to think about. I was fully expecting that we would probably see some kind of both services starting to become the same, so that you're seeing Funimation and Crunchyroll as both two sides to the same coin, and then eventually they would finally merge to help us out as users, and then eventually, so we have the real funny role at some point, and then eventually they would decide, okay, which one probably works a little bit better, and I probably would have figured Crunchyroll would have taken the top spot, but when it comes down to it, I was fully expecting this to be several years down the road. For them to start this fast, I suspect Funimation is going to get dropped very quickly. I will be surprised if Funimation isn't a passing remark this time next year.
I do think that Funimation is going to stay around. I think that's really in just being a skeleton of what it was.
Yes.
Because I kind of mentioned my video. One of the statements that they said is they're like, this is happening. We're moving all these stream titles onto Crunchyroll, so you can start streaming them there. All the dubs are going there, too. Everything's going there. Oh, yeah, by the way, starting spring, which is going to be insane. They even note that spring's going to be insane. Like, Funimation and Crunchyroll, they know spring's going to be insane. I'm already terrified of it. Cannot wait for us to do our preview of it. But they're like, yeah, everything's going to be over there. And then, of course, in the fact, it's going, well, what about my pre-orders for your shop? Well, what about everything that I bought from your shop? What if I need to return something to your shop? They have a shop, just like Crunchyroll does. What about my digital movies? I bought a, you know, a copy of this show and it has a digital code on it, and I downloaded it from your store. What about that? I registered it. Yeah, that stuff's going to stay there. We'll figure out how to move it later. What about my queue? I have a queue and a watch history on Funimation. How do I transfer that? Oh, well, you're just going to create a new account on Crunchyroll. We can't transfer users. We'll figure out a way to transfer it later. I'm like, you know what that's code word for? It's never going to happen. That stuff's staying on Funimation site, and they're saying they're going to figure out a way to give you your queue on Crunchyroll. They're going to figure out a way to move your digital copies over there. They're going to figure out a way to move your history over there. It's never going to happen. There is going to be zero way. I can guarantee you there is zero way for them to move any of that stuff over. It's never going to happen. Funimation, they're going to hope you forget about that stuff. You're going to be on Crunchyroll. You're going to be watching new stuff. And eventually, like in a year later, you're going to say, hey, whatever happened to my queue? When's my queue going to move over? They're like, they're basically going to have people that are hopefully going to back them up saying, dude, just make your queue over. Your watch history? It doesn't matter. Who cares? You have a new account. Move on. That stuff's going to, I think the only thing that's going to stay on Funimation site is order history for returns and all that financial stuff and your digital copies of shows. I think they're going to keep a server in a closet somewhere that'll have your digital shows and movies just sitting there in case you need to access it. Because that's, again, that stuff's not going to move. How are they going to figure out, okay, well, your account on Funimation was this. Now your account on Crunchyroll was this. Oh, because your email's the same, we're going to just move ownership over? I doubt that's even going to happen. So, yeah, but going back, how you started this whole thing, I do have an odd theory why this happens so fast, and I think that really does kind of, and you probably are in the same boat as me, I think it really is a financial thing. Because we were expecting this to go on much longer. Like, we were kind of expecting that 2 years, maybe 3 years down the road, they'd finally announce some way of merging it, because they were going to want to double dip. So the only reason that they would basically kind of rush this forward is that somebody's not making money. And I think that's what really is happening.
That is one of my main reasons why I think this is happening as fast as it is.
So the obvious thought when the buyout of Crunchyroll happened, especially at the price that it did, was like, okay, Sony wants to take over the anime industry. Like, they want to take over anime streaming in the West. They see how profitable it is. They made a bet on Funimation, going, okay, let's buy Funimation and let's see if we can fight against Crunchyroll and win this fear. And I don't think Funimation was doing it. Nope. Like, at this point, and this is all speculation from here until I say otherwise, I think at some point they bought Funimation and they were not pulling profit. And I don't think Funimation ever does, except for things like, yeah, Dragon Ball and stuff like that. And then I think at some point they said, Crunchyroll's doing really good. They keep barking about their subs. Let's just do it. Let's buy Crunchyroll too, and let's just take it over completely. And they bought Crunchyroll, and at some point they're like, now we got two things sitting here. One's making money and one's not. Time to get rid of the dead weight. And that's when they cut off Funimation and said, let's just stick with Crunchyroll. Let's focus on that. Even with two subs going on, the Funimation side of it is not making profits, I think. The Crunchyroll side, I think, was making profits, but I don't think Funimation was. So they cut, despite the fact that they're double dipping the subs right now, cut the fat. And that's when they shove it all over to that one side. And so it's funny to think that despite they are double dipping on a lot of people, I don't think they're double dipping on enough people that this side needs to be removed at that point.
Go to Discord real quick.
Going to Discord real quick.
Go to your YouTube video. Let's see here. Number one, past issues. I'm not going to really talk about the past issues. They are what they are. Number two, tech issues. Constant technical issues that they cannot support or they will not support for whatever reason. It doesn't matter either way. Number three, money issues, going into what Andrew just talked about. I think that this is twofold, and one side being the fact that they were being very bold just before the Sony buyout. They tried to make the Funimation one.
Who bold?
Funimation.
Okay.
Just before the Sony buyout, they were being really bold. If you remember, this was a while ago. They were doing the Funimation One thing where that's when they bought Walk Anime. They were also trying to go into Europe, and they were just being really bold. Now, we were supportive of it, but at the same time, we were like, man, this is getting crazy that they're going out of their way. They're spreading themselves a little thin. But when it comes down to it, they did it. Afterwards, then the Sony buyout, which, and I was speculating as well, and I said they may have got themselves into a bad spot, and they were desperate. Sony came in and said, hey, we'll help you out a little bit. And they were like, yes, please do everything. The other side of it actually goes into, and this was my fourth thing. They also, what seemed like, and this is one of those things that I kind of felt was a little bit odd, but at the same time, it just kind of became the thing that happened every season. So I just kind of, it was just par for the course. Crunchyroll, for the better part of, and we've been vocally talking about anime for what, 7-8 years now. Mm-hmm. Every season, consistently, Crunchyroll dominated every season. That's what I was getting ready to say is I can only think of maybe one or two seasons where Funimation actually beat Crunchyroll.
Especially right before they bought out Crunchyroll. And I think that was a strategic move by Crunchyroll because they knew they were getting bought out and they didn't want to throw a bunch of money into the pot to, you know, basically not put themselves back in the hole before they got the buyout.
And I think the other one was when they announced their partnership. I think mm-hmm. that there was a time back then that they were doing that as well, or that Funimation won. And when I say one, I'm only talking about numbers game, where this is how many shows per season.
The value of season.
Yeah.
There's a feeling of, as an anime fan for a while there, that there was like a value of each season. Like when Amazon first got into the mix, it was like their value was really low. They had one, maybe two shows a season.
Yeah,
their use value to a standard fan is very low, to the point where you don't even want to waste your money subbing, especially when you have to get a Prime and an Amazon Strike account. And then you had like High Dive was picking up a few shows. Their value was a little high, but it was always kind of it was always like, you know, like a 70-30 Crunchyroll Funimation, and then that's, every now and then Funimation would come up, their value would come up per season. So
and it's one of those weird things is. This is the thing that I see in this respect is not necessarily whether or not you want to per se look at it from a respect of companies especially in Japan, and this is from my understanding. I don't know it for a fact. I don't live in Japan. I don't know. But they are very relationship-based. So if they have a relationship with a company, they will stick with that relationship through thick and thin, unless you burn that bridge. And this is one of those things that I wonder how much of certain things happen that is a burned bridge. Because oddly enough, there is some companies that, and this is one of those things that when they happened, I pointed out, this is something that I think is happening behind the scenes. And we're talking about Japan. They're not going to come out and flat out tell us what the heck is going on. I thought Daisuke and, the YouTube, where a bunch of companies were going to YouTube shortly after Daisuke, because Daisuke was also a very similar situation where they started their own streaming service. They were trying
Sunrise.
Huh?
That was Sunrise mostly. Yeah.
And they were trying to get some kind of a way to bridge themselves to the West outside of these main two companies. And it was one of those things that I kept pointing out. This is something that's interesting, and I think that we should really start. I wish we could get a little bit more insight into what the heck's going on here, because Sunrise is a big company. It's not a company that you just go, I really don't want your shows. I want everybody else's shows. No, That's more along the lines of Sunrise isn't satisfied with something that these big two companies are providing. That's the way I was looking at it. And I thought that was more of a fascinating story than the other way. But at any rate, I think that that's an interesting tidbit. Now, whether or not it says that Funimation is burning bridges, no. I'm speculating at this point. And I think that that was something that kind of hints that something is behind the scenes. Now, the last little bit I have is customer climate. And I've been talking about this over and over and over and over again. There is a point in which the customers will be pushed to before they start pushing back. Now, I believe that this has been building and building and building. Obviously, we have not seen the pushback. We have seen a little bit of pushback, but not the big pushback that I'm talking about. So here's my personal speculation. When I say the scales have been tipped, I think slightly different than what Andrew says. I think Andrew is right, but I think it's from the opposite side. I think Sony said, what the heck did we get ourselves into here? And all these things all compounded to one, and they went, they probably did a customer fill out. They went, hey, what is the demographics here? Who is okay with Funimation? Who is okay with Crunchyroll? And when everybody has a positive view of Crunchyroll, and maybe 50% of Funimation, I think it's a fairly easy choice between which one are you going to keep. But you know, like I said, that's my speculation.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about a customer feedback versus, but I think there's also something to be said about just raw numbers. And
yeah,
I know there's a huge fandom for dubs, and I know that Funimation technically has some of the biggest titles out there, including One Piece and Dragon Ball and all that kind of the big shonens. But
well,
at the same time, that a lot of those are available on Crunchyroll as well.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they just don't really hear many people talking about Funimation.
Yeah.
They talk about Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll is the one that always seems to have, for the most part, the bigger catalog, and most people don't really want to have multiple subs. They will end up choosing the best title they can find on one platform rather than subbing like we do to pretty much every single platform to watch it all. That's always been the most difficult thing about coverage that we do, is like talking about all these shows and most people are like, oh, cool, I don't see it on Crunchyroll. Well, no, it's over on Funimation. Oh, okay, well, I don't have a sub there. It's like, yeah, it sucks. It sucks. That is the biggest positive of this whole situation. What were we just talking about? Literally, spring is going to bring us a new sub, which is Disney Plus, yay. And thankfully, Sony answered the call. Sony was listening to our podcast and was like, oh, damn.
Those boys got another sub coming up. That's probably...
Let's help them out. Let's get rid of Funimation.
I bet you that's actually not that bad, that far off. They looked at it. They were saying, "Oh, they're actually going to be getting another thing." And I see a vast majority of our customer base dropping one of them, and they just went ahead and just made the decision.
We can't
for
win
us.
Against summertime rendering. We have to shut down all of Funimation's platforming. Yeah, it's crazy.
It is. It is one of those things. It's fun to speculate when it comes down to it. I think that there's more to the story, and I would love to see.
I think as they were bleeding money.
I do. I honestly believe it as well. I think that they got themselves a dumpster fire, and they didn't know what to do, and so they chose to fix it this way.
Yeah, I think they've always been bleeding money. And I think I do agree with you. I think there was probably an element of Funimation trying to make themselves look bigger than they were just to get bought out. And that's usually, I think the desperation of a company trying to show how good they are to get bought out is a sign that they're falling apart. And they're trying to essentially expand their mass out as much as possible to make themselves look big. And then you realize at some point they're very hollow and they fall apart. And that's definitely something that I can probably see was happening with Funimation, which is really unfortunate for Sony, but that's,
well,
them's,
I think,
the breaks investing like that.
I think one of the ham-fistedest basic desperate cash grabs was that
But again, I think Sonny was probably more looking at the big titles again.
Well,
Dragon Ball.
True. And I don't blame you on that. I was getting ready to point out the not Patreon, but the that one movie or that one TV show that you ended up backing, the we said it, this is not right that a big company
Escaflowne
and they had the license for it and they tossed it on not Patreon but the
Kickstarter.
Yeah, Kickstarter. And we said that was a cheap move that they had done that. And it makes sense if you think of it from
it's a good sign they didn't have the money for it.
They didn't have the money for it.
don't have money to redub a show,
yeah.
You're pretty bad off.
And that it makes sense if we think of it from the perspective of rather than think of it, like I said, at the time we couldn't understand why a big or a quote unquote big company would do something like that. Maybe they weren't as big as we thought they were. Maybe they were, like Andrew was saying, they were bleeding money everywhere, and it would make sense.
Yeah, playing off of the FOMO of that. Well, and that's just the big sign right there of when you talk about these different things that burn bridges with your actual clientele, your customers. Mm-hmm. That was one of those big ones. It was the idea of basically playing off of the customer's idea of FOMO or fear of missing out. To create this idea of, well, if not enough people want this, we need to gauge interest in this, so we're going to do this way. It's not that we can't pay for it ourselves. We just don't know if you guys really want it that bad. By the way, all this stuff is exclusive. Oh, by the way, we charged you. Oh, by the way, it's no longer exclusive. Oh, by the way, you can buy it for cheaper on Right Stuff day of release before you even get anybody else gets their product. That's how you burn bridges. That's how you have that idea that people might like other companies a little more than you. And I think that's probably something that's weighed into it. But like I said, I think it was just them hemorrhaging money, which is, again, technically unfortunate. Which does technically lead to the idea that if this is the idea that they're cutting off the fat, that Funimation is literally losing them money, it makes you wonder, where are they going in the future? How many people are going to be losing their jobs around the corner? I really don't see Funimation as a company lasting much longer. That brings up the big question. What's going to happen with dubs? Because we always thought of the idea, well, Crunchyroll will be the subs. Funimation will be the dubs. Well, now we know they're all in one branch now. Yeah. Do you think, here's my question for you, and probably for all of our listeners, and you guys can go onto our Discord once you guys listen to this episode, and you can go into the Anime Cast podcast area, find where this is at and reply to it. Where do you guys think dubs are going? Do you think Funimation will be continuing to dub to put dubs on Crunchyroll? Yeah. Or do you think they were going to shut down their dubs?
No,
is there a point to keeping that company open when they can easily just have Sony can easily go to any of the other dubbing companies and have them dub the shows?
That is,
I'm theorizing they're going to shut down their dubbing.
I actually think they will. I can't disagree with you.
Think about it. What is the only thing crucial about keeping their dubs open? It's only for the big three. It's only for the big shonens.
Yeah.
And again, you don't need to keep a whole company open just to dub that one episode a week.
Oh, you have no idea how much
they're shutting that down.
They are.
I'm not saying this in a malicious way because I know we have a lot of dub listeners.
Yeah.
And I feel extremely bad. But I just want you guys to prepare yourselves. I honestly, and this is just me and my thought process here. I don't think their dubs are going to continue. I think you'll probably see, at the most, you'll probably see some dubs continuing on into the next season. There may be a sign that Sony is going to go, okay, well, we're going to take all this stuff off your plate. It's like one of those things where Big Dad comes in the room, he sits down, and he's like, and everybody's like sweating. He's like, this isn't working out. You guys are just losing too much money. You can't handle this, so all the shows here. We're gonna have Crunchyroll handle this. Don't worry about it. No. Stop. Crunchyroll's gonna handle this. Okay, what do you have over here? Okay, the website and everything. Okay, Crunchyroll's gonna handle that. Stop. Okay, what do you do? The dubs. So you guys go. You guys go. I'll call you later. Dub guy. Let's see if we can make this happen. I'm going to give you a few weeks and a few months. We'll do one more season. And if enough people click on your version of it, we'll keep you around. That's my theory.
We'll keep
the website open so people can access their digital stuff. But the dub thing, we'll keep you around for one more season. And if enough people click on that on Crunchyroll's site, we'll keep you around. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think you are right. And this is one of those things that I didn't even think about. The concept of losing the Funimation dubs was not even an inkling in my mind until Andrew actually pointed it out. And I think he's right.
It's another one of those assets of why people go to Funimation over Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
Is the dub. What if Funimation is no longer there? What's the point?
Exactly. I want everybody to actually just think about it from a business standpoint. And as harsh as it is, money talks. Period. Okay? When it comes down to it, is there any financial benefit to having Funimation stay open for dubbing only? And remember what Andrew just said. Sony has assets worldwide. They can have any of those assets dub themselves. Why does Funimation have to stay open if their dubs are not financially viable? Now, here's an interesting tidbit. I have been complaining for several years. Funimation is a gatekeeper, and they are not listening to their customer base. Eventually, that customer goodwill will turn against them. If they do not have enough customer goodwill right now, and Sony is looking at them and saying, question, are your dubs making me money? Period. That's all you have to answer.
And sadly, I think there's a lot of rumors that there's not really much pay at Funimation.
Mm-hmm.
So it could, the cross to that is that they could be very efficient cost-wise and do what they're doing. But again, it goes back to the idea of, is it better to just shut down the doors and pay another company to do it? Or is it financially, good for the? And this also really brings in the question what Sony's future is for their anime branch. The sign that it's going to Crunchyroll shows me that Sony wants it to be its own thing remaining. This is actually a good sign in that regard. The fact that when I heard that they're going to Crunchyroll, that told me that they're not going to Sony Entertainment streaming app, along with all of our live-action movies and stuff. It shows me they want an anime existence. And that tells me that their primary goal isn't the general population like Netflix, where they want everything dubbed. If it went to a Sony brand entertainment app, that would make me believe that they want to make sure they dub as much stuff as possible. So just like Netflix, nobody's going to turn on a show and go, why are they talking in Chinese? Okay, the dub's there. So yeah, I think the dub group's gone. Honestly.
I do think that it is very telling if you stop and think about it, because at least the last two, maybe three seasons, there was the hot show was on both platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody would naturally click on their preferred version. If you stop and think about it. So what were we telling Sony with every click? We were saying, we prefer this app over that app. And I think that that's what I was talking about earlier. Tech side, I would try over and over again with my Funimation app. And over again, I would be furious. And I would turn on my iPad and I would force an stream from my iPad to my Roku just to get that Funimation episode up there. And so what would I, what will I do now? I will automatically go to the Crunchyroll app. I will watch all of my shows, and then I'll go over to my Funimation side. If there's a show that I've already watched, I'm skipping right over it and going to the next show, whichever the one it, that is Funimation exclusive.
And that's just that. That's the sad thing that currently comes up right now is obviously the big thing that a lot of people are chiming in about with this whole situation is the difference in their in each person's experience with this whole situation. Like my experience is different than Chris's experience is different from pretty much everybody on Discord. Is this idea of like for me personally, I hate the fact that Crunchyroll's browser is has issues. I have gone through like three browsers that all have the same issue with the play button being. In the square where the play button usually goes in the player for browser is always like one frame behind. And I've went through Chrome, I've went through Edge, and now I'm on Firefox. And thankfully that one doesn't have the issue. And then when it comes to the apps, I've never really had any problems with Crunchyroll's apps on like Apple TV and on my on devices. I have a problem with how much it seems like their encoding is super bulky. So it seems like there's a lot of buffer issues, especially with, like, cellular. I've heard a lot of other people confirm that. It seems like Crunchyroll's encoding is not good, so it's really heavy. And that's why a lot of devices can't play Crunchyroll. Versus Funimation, yeah, technically on their apps, it fires right up. But navigating their apps on Funimation sucks. So, and then you have, like, the whole queue issue on the browser on Funimation is stupid. And half the time, their thumbnails are broken. We've had what Slow Loop has been policing a pod's thumbnail for like two weeks straight. And then you have like the when Wonder Egg Predator came out, they set the episode length to 23 minutes when it was supposed to be an hour long episode, so it didn't play the entire episode. We of course have issues with Crunchyroll. This is like my biggest concern right now. There's obviously issues on Crunchyroll with server capacity. So the experience is always different for everybody. And so, yeah, the big concern that everybody have right now is, okay, this sucks because I have a lot of terrible experience with Crunchyroll's products. And the scary thing about that is because of the buyout, we warned this. This is what we were warning early on. The big problem with the buyout originally was lack of competition. And so now it's all going to be under one Crunchyroll. You guys better be keeping very vocal on a regular basis. Keep them in check because do not let Crunchyroll get lazy because that's what happens when they don't have competition. And right now, Crunchyroll's no longer going to have competition. Don't call Netflix competition. Don't call Disney Plus competition. Don't even dare call High Dive competition. Crunchyroll's a big dog and they're standing alone. And if you want your apps to work, keep yelling and yell loud because they need to stay awake. But, yeah, that goes back to my biggest concern that I have with this whole situation is capacity. I really do hope Crunchyroll – and, again, this goes back to us not even really knowing their metrics. Them dropping Funimation, they know – Sony, Crunchyroll, Funimation, they know how many people are only on Funimation but not on Crunchyroll. They could probably just do a cross-reference with emails or IPs, which they can easily do, and – so they probably know, like, well, if we shut down Funimation, it's not going to be like, oh, gosh, now we have twice as many people hitting the servers. It's probably going to be at the most like a fraction. We're talking probably like 5% people weren't on Crunchyroll, and now they're going to be on Crunchyroll. But it still has me concerned with, again, the whole monopoly aspect is if they're going to keep up with service because, like I seen with Rankin and Kings last week. Well, I see it with every single big show that drops on Funmate or on Crunchyroll. When you go to their site, it breaks. It's like immediately, like the moment that show drops, and it was like 11:25 last week for Rankin and Kings. Boom, I'm getting logged out. I can't stay logged in, and I log in like 8 times. Boom, they ban me from Cloudflare. Yeah, oof, woof. Please get your crap together, Crunchyroll. And again, don't lax, but. It's a lot of crazy stuff. I haven't even hit this outline for this whole news bit because we were just going on, and I love it, so it's perfectly fine. But no, the rest of the information to give you guys, yes, Funimation is getting absorbed by Crunchyroll, basically. Well, so far what they're saying is that they're moving all their stuff to Crunchyroll, and they're even saying specifically, starting spring, go to Crunchyroll. They're not going to get any new shows in spring. It's all going to be on Crunchyroll. Sub to Crunchyroll. Anybody that's currently on, what was it, anime, what was it called? What was that the service that I don't know what the name of it is?
Wakanim. It's Wakanime.
Waka?
It's
Nims.
I think it's...
Wakanim.
I think it's Australia.
Wakanim. It's Wakanim. It's Wakanim. Waka, waka, waka. Anyways, anybody on those platforms are going to get an email saying, basically, welcome to the Crunchyroll. And if you do not have a Crunchyroll account already, they give you 60 days free, which is great. I think that's cool. Again, because I think it's a good thing because they're not going to be an issue until spring. And you're going to need a Crunchyroll account at that point if you want to keep watching stuff. They haven't said specifically, but my assumption is that anywhere where they have Funimation, but they don't have Crunchyroll, I think they're just going to have a brand change. I don't see it being like, okay, suddenly out of nowhere, a Crunchyroll building pops up in this region and suddenly Funimation shuts down. I think they're just going to rebrand any region where Crunchyroll is not and Funimation is at. But anywhere where there's Crunchyroll, it's just really just them moving all their assets to Crunchyroll so it's available there. Again, I hope that means that other regions where Funimation was the only thing there, they still stay open and people can still access stuff. It's not going to change, meaning that everything that's on Crunchyroll is going to be available to all regions. I would probably still assume that anything that was not licensed in your region is not going to be licensed either. So that's unfortunate, but just want to keep that clear for people. The fact site on Funimation did describe a couple things that was including the aspect of your history queue. Digital copies are not going to be transferred over. They're working on something. Don't hold your breath. Please don't hold your breath. I would expect that not to happen. Price changes. They didn't say anything. No information about pricing changes in the future. Currently, it just seems like everything's going to stay the same. I just want people to know, expect price changes. Again, it goes back to, and this is the only, my whole theory on the idea that this was them cutting dead weight makes me believe that there's a possibility they'll keep the pricing the same. But if Funimation keeps going with their dubs, definitely expect prices to go up. I would assume that by the end of the year, what you'll see is like $1, maybe $2 bump up by them saying, we've expanded our library like crazy. We're giving everybody dubs like they asked for it. And now we want $2 more every year or every month. I would expect that. But again, if the whole idea of them cutting dead weight and if their dubs go away and Funimation disappears and you start hearing about layoffs, unfortunately, I would expect the price to hopefully hold. That's my hope. But I would expect
I would lean towards cutting dead weight. Mostly because we already pretty much have dubs on Crunchyroll. And
yeah, because they're Funimation's dubs.
Not all of them.
Anything before the buyout, yes, was from other companies. But for the most part, it's all... I mean, yeah, there's like Sentai Filmworks stuff that's on there. If there was a movie or something they got a hold of that was done through another company... But for the most part, it's Funimation's.
All right.
Unless you have examples.
I've seen dubs, and I don't think all of those dubs are...
Yeah, they're not all. Not all. That's for sure. That's the other thing. I hope with this...
The sad thing is
it's like the proof sign that they're not used to dubs. Please, Crunchyroll, you need to figure out a situation with your dub thing real quick. Making a new season out of your dubs is getting real tiresome. And that's going to only get worse when we're getting flooded with new stuff right now.
I got into a random side tangent. I had said that my biggest beef with Crunchyroll, because
Chris's notes for this podcast is the Discord chat.
Yeah. I actually got a kick out of it because of the fact that you're bringing up that point. And it's my
Y'all
biggest
went crazy
beef
on there too.
Outside of my general translation issues with. But that's just a transition issue that we've talked about to death. My biggest beef with Crunchyroll, because I generally don't have a lot of problems with Crunchyroll, is exactly that. The way that they handle their dubs is just god awful. You get I go into a show and there's 25 seasons. There's not 25 seasons of this show, so I've got to go through the entire list. And the way it shows on
again,
my screen...
keep on them, people, or it will never, ever be fixed. Monopoly.
And the problem with my screen is the way that it displays it, all it shows is the title of the show. And then...
Yeah, it's not long enough to put that parentheses
exactly.
German or something like that.
Parentheses. And then it's like, okay, well, I don't know. And so I have to actually go to that and select it so that this the screen will start doing the marquee thing, and eventually it'll get around to Portuguese dub. Okay, that's not the season I want.
Wait for the marquee. Wait for the souls. And it's always terrible when it's like, Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba
Season 1
Entertainment District Arc Episode 1 Parentheses Jerk. Oh, darn it.
Darn it.
I'm almost there.
And see,
it's the worst is like when you finish watching an episode and all of a sudden it's like it just jumps forward to the next episode, which is episode one
of the Portuguese dub.
Portuguese dub. It's like, what the crap?
Yeah, because it's funny because Iroh is pointing out that it's not that big of a problem for him, and I'm like, no, it's not necessarily that it's a big problem. It's a big annoyance, is really what it is. It's because. Technically, if I get lucky, it'll go right to the next episode. But every once in a while, it might get stuck in. I think Mugen Train did the same thing where it kept going to Mugen Train.
Yeah, they had the movie like being like season 33 or something like that. So every time you finish an episode of that show, it was like suddenly you want to watch the movie, right? No, I'm in the Entertainment District arc, which is. After the movie. And it's so funny, if you look in the comments of that movie, it's like everybody's like, oh, I guess I want to rewatch the movie now. Oh, yay, my weekly, I want to rewatch the movie. Yeah, I feel you guys. It's not great. And so, yeah, that leads me to the whole idea that Crunchyroll, with now a large plethora of dubs now, needs to just make a setting on the player that says, play the dub. What? And... they also need to make a setting in the settings of your account. I listen to English. I read English. You don't need to show me every language in the world.
Yeah, and that's...
if I want to learn one of those languages, I'll do that elsewhere.
and that's exactly what I was saying. It should be as simple. I mean, all the crap that I'm giving Funimation, one thing that they have absolutely in spades... is their app is set up perfectly for dubs. I go up there and
it's
I say,
almost like
I
it
want
was originally made for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Crunchyroll was not.
Not. And that was my thing. I'm giving them credit for what they do right because that's what they do. That's their job is to do dubs. So they have a setting for I want English language. I want English subtitles. Or I don't want subtitles. It's a simple thing. So give Crunchyroll a little bit of leeway. Eventually, maybe they'll fix that problem as they start getting more and more dubs. They're eventually going to get crap for having 25 seasons, and we'll deal with it for those few seasons while we deal with the 25 seasons, and eventually our complaints will eventually get to them and they will fix that problem. But
how the hell are they going to handle Dragon Ball moving over from Funimation to Crunchyroll and all the different languages they have and all the seasons and episodes that they have and all the movies and OVAs they have with every language they have? Man, that new page is going to be full of Dragon Ball for a while. I don't even know how much.
And we're not even counting. And we're not even counting Dragon Ball Super, Dragon Ball
GT,
GT, and
original Z, GT, Super,
525 different movies
when that comes out. And literally like 10 movies. Roof. Have fun with that one, Crunchyroll. And that's one of those things. Is like there's a small hope. That it's going to come on the... because it's obviously one of those things where they were like, okay, we're going to start bringing dubs over from Funimation. This is like probably, 3 years ago or something like that. Okay, cool. We'll just make new categories we'll just make it a new season. Why don't you just set a setting or something like that they can change over to it? Yeah, we didn't decide. It literally is probably because Crunchyroll didn't build their database and their player for that in mind. They built it with in mind subtitles on off. Play video, subtitle, time it on off. And so when that brought up, it's like, We didn't design up for that, so just make a new season. And now that they're at the point they're at now, it's like, crap. It's going to break a lot of things if we try to fix it now. And it's kind of sad when they went through this whole quote-unquote beta thing that has been going on for the last 5 years, that was not addressed. They just made it look quote-unquote pretty to them, which I think it's absolutely broken and reductive. I mean, if I can get more information on the non-beta page than I can the beta page, there's something wrong. I can't even see, like, what they're, like, with the non-beta page, whenever you went to a show, on the side it would tell you information, like, what time and day it airs. That's not even on the beta page. It's like, why is there information that's not even available on the beta page? It's like, we're regressing. But anyways, that's besides the point. Yeah, and the last point we already covered, oddly enough. But yeah, that's pretty much all of it. It's pretty much all of it. So expect, again, spring, only Crunchyroll. But in High Dive, because your boy, Kyungming, or is it Kyungming? Your boy, the PA Work show, is going to be on High Dive. So two, at least two. And then again, you technically have Disney Plus. We do have a couple people that are offering the Disney Plus login, so that we don't have to worry about getting a sub with them. I'm not looking forward to it. Maybe just borrow it for a week and watch all the episodes. But I don't know. I just don't want to touch Disney, like through and through. I just don't want to touch Disney. That's just my problem, my own problem. You don't have to have the same problem as me. So yeah, we have other news. We can just cut off right here and just make this the pretty much Funimation episode.
I don't see why we can't.
Anyways, we have a couple more things though. But yeah, other news. Overlap has announced that Black Summoner Isekai light novel is getting an anime adaptation that's going to premiere in 2022. So that's exciting. The studio that's going to be working on it is Satellite. And Miwa Oshima of Ao-chan Can't Study and Next Life as a Villainess is going to be doing the character design. So I thought that was interesting because I think I really enjoy the main character, but definitely with like Next Life as a Villainess, I really did enjoy a lot of the character designs there. So that's a huge plus to me. But yeah, looking forward to that. I think that's another one of those. Is that a Revenge Isekai one? If I remember correctly. Yeah, I think he was like a bloodthirsty dude. That's right. Waking up in a strange new place with no memory of his past life. Kelvin. Kelvin. That's like the most random name. Learns that he's bartered away his very memories in exchange for powerful new abilities during his recent transmigration.
No, you were right about bartered.
What?
He bartered away his memories. I don't know why he would barter away his memories, but I guess there was something valuable that he was, or that they were willing to trade for.
Yeah. Heading out into his new world as a summoner, with his first follower being the very goddess who brought him over. That sounds very much like Konosuba right there. it's gonna be one of those things where he forgot, but yeah, at some point during the whole transaction, he got the goddess with him. Kelvin begins his new life as an adventurer, and it's not long before he discovers his hidden disposition as a battle junkie. From a black knight of the ancient castle of evil spirits to the demon within the hidden cave of Sage, or Sage, I don't have another one to pronounce that, Sage. He reveals that he revels in the fight against one formidable foe after another. Join this OP adventurer in an exhilarating epic saga. As he and his allies carve their way into the annals of history. So, yeah, guy gives up his memories, somehow manages to snag the goddess that brought him over, and he's a little bit bloodthirsty, apparently. So, we'll see. Is he voiced by Kirito?
Probably.
No, I don't think that's Kirito's voice. I wouldn't doubt, though. I need to memorize Kirito's Sei's name at some point. I always forget what it is. Yeah, he looks cute. What is he playing? Miami really wants me to know how pretty he is. I don't want to see his pictures. Oh, he was Shido from Fate. Trying to think of that voice.
I've seen a few.
Obviously, Yuri on Ice.
I'm pretty sure I have it, but it's one of those that it's not Kirito. I can tell you that just based on the Hina or the
yeah, not enough Isekai characters in this list, so obviously it's not Kirito.
I didn't know that was Soul Eater, though. Wow.
Yeah, Soul Eater, main character. Soul Eater from Soul Eater.
Well,
for those that don't know,
Haikyuu and the character that he is in Haikyuu and Soul Eater, main character are not. To me, they don't sound the same at all.
Yeah, that was kind of a span difference there. He was the main character in Nisekoi. So yeah, he's an all right kind of side. He's got a couple big roles at least. So
yeah, he's not a slouch character. He's somebody that is.
Oh, there you go. Shigaraki from My Hero Academia is probably the one that everybody's going to know the most. Or Tomura, the main villain guy, obviously, with the hands on his face. That's probably the one that most people are going to know him by. But anyways, interesting. So we'll see how that turns out.
So he can pull off the crazy character when he wants to.
Yes. Hopefully.
That makes sense.
So moving on, we have Studio MAPPA. This is what I was kind of joking about earlier. Studio MAPPA has announced they are establishing a new CGI studio in Osaka. This studio is focused on 3D CGI, of course, background art, photography, finishing, editing, and design. So, yeah. The company established a studio in Osaka so that its creators and students who live in the Kansai region who do not wish to leave their hometowns can still work in the anime industry. How nice. They're doing people favors. Anyways. Yeah, this is, I don't know, if you're going to use CGI, I guess you use your own studios. I'm indifferent about this news, so we'll see. Hopefully it doesn't mean they get more CGI, but hopefully it just means, because I mean, that's the whole thing with, I kind of mentioned this recently with Footable, and the idea that since they put so much effort into actually creating Unlimited Blade Works as beautiful as it did, and well, essentially Fate Zero before that, with how much budget they put into it, they kind of create their own systems for it. So it's not as if MAPPA can't do the same thing. If MAPPA can get to that point where they get so used to CGI and not have to rely on, you know, some terrible uses of it, they can eventually get to that point where they're able to blend the two of them together better. If the studio themselves are able to understand the CGI better, they can improve how it meshes with their own style, and eventually you can get to that point where you no longer have, yes, colossal titans that look like toys running around inside of a toy house. But we'll see. Your thoughts?
Not really.
Different too?
I'm indifferent to it. I'm fine. I think we pointed out like 5 years ago this is going to happen. They're going to get to the point where they all feel like it's a necessary evil. Then eventually it's something that they are accepting, and then eventually it will become the commonplace, and hand-drawn will become the oddity. And we will be pining.
Of Chris.
We will get to the point where we will be pining for hand-drawn animation.
You know, I mean, there was a point in which they were first getting into digipainting, and we were going, well, this is a new thing they're doing. And it was kind of rough around the edges, especially if you look at that early stuff. It just didn't translate to HD very well. But it was probably at a time where they were like, well, this is new technology. How does it work? Oh, you just paint on the screen right here. It's really cool, but I just can't really figure it out. Let's stick to hand drawing. And then eventually got to the point where, yeah, when they announced their hand drawing stuff, it's like, what? What? This anime is hand drawn? What?
Well, that's
hand painted? What?
Well, that's why I loved the Kaguya movie. I think Miyazaki's stuff is the same way, where it's you just love watching it because it is just. There's so much hand involvement in there.
That's like I was watching Captain Tyler, and it's like, holy crap. Just you forget how this old stuff just was frame by frame by frame.
Well, and
again, they still draw frame by frame. So they don't hand paint every single one of them.
And one of the things that you do see when you watch some of that old stuff is you see artifacts, and you know that is real.
It's blood.
There's blood. There's like, a blood splatter on that screen.
You're watching like all the Evangelion film, and suddenly one of the frames. did you hear about that? Like it was like episode.
Never heard of that. 20? No.
Episode 20, there was like a frame at like the later part of the. I'm just joking, by the way.
I was gonna say, I thought you were trolling, but I mean, I thought it was some kind of a metaphorical joke, but
the blood of a dead director. Anyways, next one, the official website for the anime adaptation of Classroom of the Elite has announced the anime will be getting a sequel. This was so exciting that the illustrator themselves for the light novel series made a nice little key art you can find online. I have it in my video if you find the video that I have for this particular news. But yeah, they said that more information on the sequel will be announced at Kadokawa's YouTube channel on March 6th. So kind of last show I'd expect to get a sequel, but at the same time, I did hear a lot of people complain about the fact that they didn't get, I guess, far enough into the light novel to get into the juicy stuff, but... Yeah, that's. Are you excited? I was very mixed on it. I think I had my problems with the main character, if I remember correctly. But
I remember
it did seem like
you,
they were finally getting into something with the main character at the very end of it.
It seemed like I was telling you that there was something in there that you would probably enjoy in the second season. But it's been so long that I remember I liked the girls. That's about all I remember.
Did you watch the light novel?
No, or I didn't. No, I didn't do the.
Then how would you know what's in the second season?
Wasn't there two seasons of that?
No, they've only been this. They
which
just
one,
announced.
Which
the
one is
season.
It?
Classroom of the Elite is like the one with like all the really. Was it like the lowest of the elite classes?
No, if it was that one, then you.
They went you to like a one. They went I to didn't. Like a remote island or something like that, and you didn't finish that one.
That's what I was getting ready to say. If it's the really? If it's the one that I think you're talking about. It's either the one with the harem of the girls that he was tutoring, or it's the one where
we never learn.
Yeah.
They shipped off to an island, I think, if I remember correctly.
I remember the island. So did I, maybe I did watch that.
Yeah, and then they started like grouping up in groups, and yeah, it started getting a little bit, I wouldn't doubt that you stopped watching it, because it got a little bit, the hard R-ish with certain characters, it felt like. I don't know. If I remember correctly, I'm probably remembering wrong. But, yeah, there was, like, little groups that they were kind of building just to survive on the island. Anyways, and, yeah, I seem to remember there was something weird about the main character and how he was, like, some special agent. I don't know what it was. I forget. I'm going to have to rewatch the first season before it comes out.
Yeah, but either way, both of those excited. Shows that we just talked about were like five years ago. So.
I think that was like 2016, if I remember correctly. That was quite a while back. But yeah, we'll see. Science Sotaro has announced on Twitter they are working on a new anime project titled Yurei Deko. The director, interestingly enough, is going to be Tomohisa Shimoyama, which does technically answer my question on if Naoko Yamada is now exclusive to Siren Saro. Now, she could be working on something else for Siren Saro, but this kind of indicates the idea that she's not just like everything is going to come out of Siren Saro is going to be her now. But yeah, I'll be very curious what she's doing going forward. I think she did a Kit Kat commercial, so she's doing something. I don't know if the Kit Kat commercial was done by Siren Saro or not. I need to look into that. But yeah, the comment on the tweet announcing this new original is says, "We're bringing you an exciting decorative world overflowing with love." The video does show at some point an 11/11. I'm not sure what that means. I doubt it means that something's coming in November. Shoot, no. But we'll see.
The other guy.
Des.
That's fairy tale guy.
That's your name. I spoil you. Anyways, the official website for Boichi the Rock has posted images and information on more characters. So we know about more than just Boichi Des. This includes Rui Yamada, a cool and independent student who plays, I said bass on my video and I got made fun of, bass. So it's spelt the same way. Blame the English language. I get nervous on the camera. Anyways, this is being voiced by Saku Mizuno, who has done Rena from Selection Project, so the long-haired, cranky girl. See how that turns out. We also know about Nijika Ijichi, an energetic and cheerful drummer, and she's also the manager of the music venue Starry. This is probably going to be my favorite character besides Bochy. But anyways, she's...
Because Twin Tails.
Twin Tail Blonde, and she's voiced by Sayumi Suzushiro, who is Kei Shirogane from Kaguya-sama Love is War, and Kurenai from 86.
Giving you a hint, she looks a little too smiley to be a tsundere. So,
oh, she's not going to be a tsundere.
Just putting that one off to the side right now. You got your Twin Tails, and you got your blonde. You do not have your tsundere.
Yeah, Shirogane from Kaguya-sama. There you go. So, I'm sure I'm going to enjoy her. And yes, we already knew about Hitori Bochi-chan Goto, who is voiced by Yoshino Aoyama, who's pretty much only done just like Yoshino from Wake Up Girls, so she's fairly new. But yeah, still super excited for that series. I think it's going to be fantastic. Again, this is one of Cloverworks' works, which I think people are suggesting this might be the team that is currently doing, I believe, Dress Up Darling in Cloverworks. So definitely good team. Don't give us the Tokyo 24th Ward team. They apparently don't do very well. They do a good job. Just I don't think they really schedule well enough. But we'll see. Let's see here. Aniplex has posted a teaser on its YouTube channel announcing that Nier Automata, the video game, is getting an anime project. So that's happening. I think this is one of those cases where I'm like, I might just let this kind of set and then wait to hear from, like, I mean, I obviously have a few huge Nier fans, including like Adrian on our Discord, and maybe wait till they tell me like what they think it's doing. Cause obviously with the Nier games, it's a very multi-branching story and you have to play it like multiple times to get the full story. So it's like, I don't know how you can do that with my limited knowledge of the series. How they can do that with just one story, like one adaptation. But
I don't know. I was actually hoping that this could save me from not having to worry about whether or not I've played the game. I could just go and watch the show. Oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble for saying that, though.
Multi-branching stories just don't work out in anime.
This is
true. And then a lot of cases that they'll either like choose like one route and just adapt that and just say, this is for the fans. So we don't really expect you to really understand it. But the fans just... I think like Persona 5 did that to an extent. I mean, then you have cases like Rewrite where they just kind of just do their own thing. I don't know. We'll see. There was the other one that was like this last week of anime was fantastic. Again, Spice and Wolf, and yeah, like just before then we learned about Tokyo Mew Mew anime getting a trailer, which I'm really happy about this because this whole situation with Tokyo Mew Mew is like one of those situations where when I heard about it getting a new anime adaptation, I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll believe it when I see it. And they're like, yeah, it's happening, it's coming out this time, and I'm like, yeah, we'll see. And then finally, now they have like an actual trailer and they're like, it's coming in July. I'm like, let me see. Now I'm like, okay, sweet. It's coming. It's finally coming. I'm pumped because, yeah, for those that don't know, Andrew's like, Tokyo Mew Mew was my jam. It was like, yes, Cardcaptor Sakura technically is my favorite magical girl of all time. It's like in the vein of like Sailor Moon wasn't my thing. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't really my thing. Tokyo Mew Mew was my thing. Cardcaptor Sakura was my thing. And I think, like, Tokyo Mew Mew was, like, yes, obviously cat girl and animal girls. Is their transformation is different animals. But it was, like, one of those things where I think technically with Mew Mew, it almost felt like it was more romantic as well. It was more of a focus was the romance, but I could be misremembering, but I really enjoyed it. It was my jam at the time, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it again reanimated, and hopefully hopefully, yes, kind of similar to Sailor Moon and all those other types of readaptations and stuff, is give a little bit of a facelift to the story. Obviously, we don't want like a very episodic old feel to it. Hopefully, we can see like a little bit of improvement into the pacing and stuff like that with it. So,
yeah, well, technically, I got my Sailor Moon crystal, so I guess you can have your Tokyo Mew Mew.
Get my Tokyo Mew Mew.
No,
I got my Cardcaptor Sakura clear card that didn't really work out too well.
It is one of those that I loved Tokyo Mew Mew back in the day, so it is nice to get it here again so that we can watch it. But yeah.
I'm excited. Let's see here. The final chapter of Fire Force has been released, and it kind of created a little confusion because, yeah, the editor's note at the end said, look forward to Atsushi Okubo's next work, which is a little bit contrary to what we kind of got from Okubo themselves, saying that they were working on finishing the Fire Force manga like I think it was like 2 years ago. And he kind of said at that time that was going to be his last manga. So the editor's note's a little bit contrary to what Okubo said. This news kind of came out a little while back, I think about a week ago. And I don't think I've heard anybody kind of state if anybody's asking Okubo, like, hey, dude, is the editor note right? Are you working on something else? But we'll have to wait to see there. But they also stated in that same chapter that to look forward to an announcement soon on the franchise. So with the manga ending, that can only mean either a live action or a light novel adaptation or, yes, probably another season, which means Andrew needs to finish the second season at this point because I'm behind. I never finished the second. Did you finish second season?
Of
Fire Force.
No. Yeah, well, maybe I did. They were getting into some kind of weird pyramid thing. And, yeah. It was getting really
weird. They got the numbers off the wall.
Yeah.
And they all were laughing, and then they left.
Yeah. It was really, really weird.
Laughing, yes. I knew it was getting into something. It was getting into something interesting, and I think it got to that point where they were, like, invading the churches and stuff, and I was like,
Yeah. There was that.
Something about that, like, just started losing me. I don't remember. I think it was, like, one of those mid-season things, too, because often the case with two core shows, we get to that mid-season point and the new season kicks up and I end up dropping at that point. So it's kind of like right now with...
It wasn't an intentional drop. It was one of those that we just kind of let it just kind of slipped through the cracks type thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Troika and DMM have announced there on Twitter that they're going to be working on a project called Shinobi no Itoki. So... looking forward to that one. It looks like it's kind of set in like an urban setting with a ninja. So maybe an urban ninja or modern time ninja. They also announced that they released a teaser poster on the website as well. It's set for 2022. And of course, it's going to be an original. For those that don't know, Troika previously worked on Recreators, Bloom Into You, and Recreators. So I said Recreators twice. I'll know Zero. So there's another one. But I'm looking forward to that one. I've always enjoyed Troika, so I enjoy originals, so definitely looking forward to more stuff in the future from them. So, yeah. That's it. That's all the news for the episode. Let's get into some questions from our community members. We have a little bit of time, so might as well kind of shove something in here. But, yeah, first one we have is Jack TWD 4th sent in a question through our contact us link, which is still on Otaku Spirit. As much as everything else has pretty much been shut down on otakuspirit.com, the contact us button, as well as all of our other links on the site now, we're working. It looks a little fancier, too. It even has a big picture of Mushoku Tensei, if you like that show. But, anyways, Jack TWD 4th said, hello, gentlemen. Going off your previous conversation about Rudeus... I just said that we weren't going to talk about that no more. From the show We Shall Not Name, it's like we're not allowed to talk about it no more. Everybody gets mad when you talk about it anymore. Are more isekai reincarnated protagonists have to be more bland to be acceptable? Did I read that wrong? Going off your previous conversations about Rudeus from the show We Shall Not Name, are more isekai reincarnated protagonists have to be more bland to be acceptable? I guess what you're getting at there is the idea of it being like a blank slate so that it's more easy to kind of like insert yourself. Like, we always kind of point out as being like a self-insert character, somebody that's just so... Most of the time, it seems like it's got to be relatable, but in some cases, they don't have much going for them, so you just kind of insert yourself into the picture for their harem, which I can kind of see. I find those types have already been done, and their stories don't seem to hit the mark for me. I'm comparing the Nameless show to something like Faraway Paladin or Spirit Chronicles. The latter are so-so, but didn't exactly have me wanting more seasons. What do you think? I'll correct you a little bit there. Like, in cases like Faraway Paladin and stuff, Spirit Chronicles, it's a little different story, but I think where you're seeing a difference there is more in the idea, and this is exactly what the problem with Mushoku Tensei is for a lot of people. Rudeus is extremely memorable, and he seems like he has a lot going in his character because he's so super flawed, and there's so much for us to pick at. I think there's something to be said about a character having so many issues. They seem like they have a lot going for them, where I think that a lot of writing is trying to create a character that doesn't have anything in it that will make them offensive to the reader. I think the writer was going for something different with Rudeus. He was going for, this is a person at his lowest and his lowest, and he's kind of a person you don't like. And eventually, hopefully, he'll get to a point where it seems like he fixes that and it makes it more impactful. Whereas all the other characters, let's just make a bland as a character as possible. That way he doesn't do anything that makes somebody go, whoa, I hate this main character. So close the book.
Is it possible? And this is purely just a throw out there question. Is it possible to make a character too relatable?
It's different for each person, really, technically. But I think that's the idea of making it very generic, is that it's more relatable to more people.
No, I'm going the opposite direction. Rudeus is not, I'm not saying that you can see yourself in Rudeus, because I know that the way that I'm going to word this, it's going to sound like that's what I'm saying. One of the things of a well-written character is that you want them to be relatable. And at the same, mostly because you want to be able to understand the thought process of that character. Now, one of the problems that Rudeus has is that his decision making makes people cringe in a lot of ways. And so, in a lot of ways, what I do love about Rudeus is that he's so well written, and the way that what Jack's question is bringing to my mind automatically is, I wonder if Rudeus was in some ways too relatable, too much, too well written, that you understand his thinking in a lot of cases. And that in some ways that repulses us, because we go, wait, I can actually see why he thinks the way he does. And so you kind of do this.
Are you talking about projection, Chris?
No, I'm definitely not saying that.
That's the thing I always laugh about whenever it's something like that. It's like when somebody points out and goes, oh my gosh, it's that's crazy that it's making that out to be like it's a good thing. And it's like, oh, that was good to you? I think you're the problem. And that was the whole thing. It's like, well, what do you mean by it was portrayed this way? Well, it was obviously it was made to pervert it or make it a good thing. I'm like, no, I was kind of revolted by that. Why are you saying it that way? Why? And that was, again, that was the same thing that I had the problem with Erased in that whole bath scene. It was like, I was in tears. And then I got on Twitter and I was about to tell everybody how, oh my gosh, this episode was fantastic. And I'm literally seeing people, oh my gosh, they just put that girl on the screen with nothing on. Oh my gosh, it's trying to show this in a perverted way. And I'm going, wait, so that in a sense aroused you? That's a you problem. If you found that, like again, I go back to my whole statement with like Showman Sample and that whole situation with the clothes off thing. And it didn't bother me because I've dealt with children. And I don't see children that way because I've babysit and helped raise children that were not my own, let's be honest. But I helped them. I've babysit a lot in the past. We used to have this one family that we helped with their children a lot. And so I guess it's just because I've dealt with that. I don't see it that way. So when the scene like that comes up, I'm going, that wasn't what I got out of that scene. And yes, I can see that being this whole aspect of the whole writer's intent thing. But when somebody sees something completely different than how I see it, I usually go, well, I guess the question is, why do you see it that way? And again, I'm not saying that if you're offended by Rudeus's actions, that you either have to accept it or that you are just trying to project. I'm just saying there's a few sides of the coin. Again, if you don't want to watch the show, don't watch the show. If you don't like Rudeus and you really hate him because of how he acts, that's not me saying that you like that stuff. I'm just saying for some people, they're probably trying to guard for their own thought processes. So, sorry, side tangent. What are we talking about?
I don't remember.
What are we talking about?
Something about that got me off on some random tangent about being too relatable. So,
but I agree with that idea. I think that, and again, this goes back to what you're saying there, is the aspect of how flawed Rudeus is, I think, is a good thing, because there is an element to, if you watch certain shows, say Tanjiro. Let's take Tanjiro, for example, from Demon Slayer. Tanjiro is very hard to relate to, honestly.
Yeah.
The only thing that I relate to him with is his love for his family. I can get that. The fact that he wants to help Nezuko so badly. And this goes back to the whole idea of, you know, it's all about, you know, obviously, SysCon thing here. No. He loves his family. He lost his family. The only one he has left is his sister.
I'm blown away that we haven't had an entire group that tried to trash Demon Slayer because SysCon. I'm surprised we haven't had that yet.
It's probably out there. But there is an element to that. But Tanjiro himself, outside of his love for his sister and the desire for him to help his sister, I didn't really relate to him at all. He's too pure. He's too perfect. He has no flaws. He never gets really... Yeah, you could. Recently, he got a little angry, but for the most part, he doesn't really get angry. He doesn't have these little things that make me see him as a human, other than whenever he is about his sister. I go, oh yeah, that's right. I get this guy. I understand what he's thinking, and I think when you get with characters like Rudeus, where yes, you don't agree with everything he does, you do see that this dude has a lot of little breaks in his body and breaks in his mind that make you go, yeah, I can kind of see somebody being a little messed up because of what he went through. I can see somebody not wanting to leave his yard because of what he went through in the past. Somebody who's been stuck in his room for 20 plus years. I can see that. I can see this guy being a little screwed up in the head. And I think there's a little understanding there. Whereas when you get into a character like an example that you gave, like I'll even bring in Fireaway Paladin. I enjoy that show, by the way. Really enjoy that show. Fireaway Paladin, main character, don't really understand him. Sure. His character technically is the weakest part of that show. He's getting there. His character is developing. I really do like the idea of the Man of Cloth. It's a new take on the isekai aspect. He's going out there serving his goddess. That I like about him. But him as himself, we don't really know anything about him. He hints every now and then about his past self, but I think they indicated that he doesn't really know much. He's got like a... I think he indicated there was like a fog or something. He doesn't really know... We get like two brief shots of what his past life was. So I don't know if he's flawed. I don't know much about him, so I can't relate to him so far. I just see a man of cloth going to Spirit Chronicles. I'm on a bus. Bus veers down the road, gets hit by a train. I don't know anything about this guy. I have more understanding about the self of him in the other world than I do about him in his past life. Because this person's body that he took over, again, is flawed. This is a mad guy that wants to get revenge for his mom. And funny enough, I didn't really care much about him, didn't really get him much until I seen that anger. The moment that it showed his visceral desire for revenge, I didn't really get him. I didn't really relate to him at all. I mean, granted, I don't really have a visceral, bloodthirsty hatred and want for revenge. Somebody?
Come on, Amber. Chill.
I've been close at times with family and stuff, but I mean, it's an element that you see that somebody has issues that makes you correlate it with the fact that you have issues. If you listening to this don't have issues, then I mean, good on you. You're doing well. And congrats, but most people have issues, and I think when you can see that somebody else has issues, even if they're not same, you understand them more. And having, yes, what's the term, milquetoast? Having a Brix character, if it's female, there's not much to grab onto. But again, not to say it's a bad character. Again, Tendro is a good character. I like him. It's too pure. I want to protect him. I want to prevent Tendro from having that corruption in his mind because he's so pure. That's the whole idea of want to protect, smile. That's like our cute girls doing cute things. We love them. We can't relate to them, but we love them. We want to protect them from becoming corrupt like us because then they won't be cute girls doing cute things. They'll be cute girls crying like Renge did in Nonambiori. We don't want Renge crying, but... did we even answer that question? I think we did.
Pretty sure we did.
I think the bland aspect is that fear of creating a character that's too different than the reader. Again, I think that goes back to my original comment on this question is there is a lot of writers that like to create self-insert characters. They like to create a character that doesn't really have much going for them so that the reader finds themselves embedded in the story. So when a story plays out, protagonist gets isekai'd in another world. He gets hit by a truck. When you're reading that, you're going, yo, man, I'm just imagining being hit by a truck. Protagonist goes into this room. It's full of harem characters, all these cute girls, and they're all over this main character. Man, I'm reading this, and I feel like I'm there. And then suddenly out of nowhere, it quotes. And then the protagonist thought, man, I wish I could go have a steak instead of be with these girls. Suddenly, the reader's going, I didn't think that. Get it? It's yep. That's that moment you break from your relation to the main character, and suddenly you're reading about somebody else because they're no longer in the mindset that you are in, and they're suddenly doing something else. So my assumption is that they want to go for a character that's bland, a character that you can relate to, so you can self-insert. And that's always the problem that we have with a lot of these stories. It's like, this character had nothing going for them. And that's that whole mindset that people have right now with why is – I think even Trash Taste recently when they talked about Mushoku Tensei thought of the same thing. Why is it that this is the godfather of the modern isekai is Mushoku Tensei, but yet nobody took the most crucial part from that story, which was a screwed up main character that actually has a past to him. That you can actually build a character off of. All the other ones, they took the truck, they got there, they don't care about where they came from, they have no problems, they're kind of bland, they don't have any issues to work out, they're just focused on making harem and moving forward. But they got the truck in there. They got the truck in there.
it is interesting to and this is kind of going in a way capturing some of the things that Andrew is bringing in and going back to what I was pointing out. It's an interesting aspect to stop and think about the fact that when as a writer, somebody, and I'm not a great writer, and so I'm just trying to consider it from my perspective as doing writing. It's one of those things that are interesting to consider. A writer's dream is to get you to understand the character as much as possible. Some people have a knack for it. They can spin stories for days and days and days. And I can think of several different authors, and each one of them has their own style. Some will do from the character's perspective, they will spin the way that they see the world, and that's how they get you to relate to that character. Others will like we were talking about, in a lot of cases, in a lot of J novels, you will see characters from their heads all the time. They are constantly in their heads, and I think that that's something because of that's how probably the Japanese see the world. They're since they don't talk, I'm not saying that they don't talk. They don't talk a lot. They listen a lot, and I think that puts them in their heads a lot more than we do, where we vomit conversation. So we're constantly telling everybody about everything that we think. Not
it'd be
all
very
people
hard to podcast if we were like that.
Yeah, right.
It's like silence for 5 minutes. Hi.
But this is a thing that is kind of more common in the Western, is that we tend to be a lot more boisterous. I mean, every culture points out the Western culture as being boisterous.
This is a pen.
Oh, not getting into that.
But anyway, my point being is that
look it up. There's a video about this is a pen, and it was in relation to the pandemic. So it's a really funny video.
At any rate, they tend to be a lot more in their head. So it would make sense that when they write their characters would be a lot more in their head. And this leads to a lot of interesting things. They have a lot more ability to explore the character's mindset without actually affecting the world around them. Whereas our characters have a lot more shouting at the world to get it to change, for lack of a better way of putting it, because you almost have to have conversations to understand how each character is interacting with each other. Whereas a J novel will tend to be stuck in the head and trying to figure out what every other character is thinking. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's just because I feel like the style of light novels are more centric on the idea of conversation and thought versus descriptive and area and environment and, yeah, conversation. So,
yeah. And I just think that that's an interesting thing. And so that's why I find that it's interesting in a lot of cases when you stop and think about most of these characters are nowhere near as well written as somebody as Rudeus is, who obviously is very in his head. And I think that that's probably a lot of it. Is it possible that we have actually gotten a character that is way too detailed in his thought process?
Yeah.
But
he has no filters in that head either.
Yep.
But like I said, that's kind of what I've gotten out from a lot of stuff. So I joked about Higahiro in the final episode adaptation. It's like that was literally like two chapters, wasn't it? Just him in his head. Anyways, that's all the time we have for now. As always, definitely continue to give those questions to us and get in. Like I said before, we now have we no longer have the forums to have people post there, but we now technically have the Discord. So again, you can go to takuspirit.com. Technically a redesigned website that has links to the top for all of our social media accounts, as well as where you can donate to the podcast and help support us. Eventually, hopefully, we'll have merch on there. I'm waiting for the merch to come in, and I'm going to be able to, I guess, I wanted to get some of the samples to make sure their print quality was good and everything before I get the link out so people can buy the merch, and then find out like a week later, everybody's like, I just got the shirt and the quality's crap. I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want people to get bad products. So, but yes, very apt to our current whole episode. And I hope they stay working there, because the joke will kind of, well, I guess it won't go away. But yes, I made a darn it Roberts mug.
We can officially blame the death of Funimation on Roberts.
We can don't blame it. It's It's more relevant now. Thank you, Chris. It's more relevant now. I just need to put on the side for the death of Funimation. It literally says, damn it, Roberts. And then on the side, it'll say, for the death of Funimation. You didn't fix it. It was all on you. I'm putting all the blame on you. We had so much hope.
You were the chosen one.
You literally had one job. You literally had one job.
We need to do that. We should put a meme.
To be
of,
fair,
dang it, Roberts, you were the chosen one, and it has to be Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You to be fair, she technically was brought in there after the whole debacle with Funimation, and she was supposed to fix it. It was already on fire. She just didn't have the big enough fire hose to put it out, or she literally used a fire hose on the servers, but. Yeah, additionally, we have all of some other stuff. I have some more kind of subtle style versions with this, like, more of like a monochromatic version of our Spirit Chan on there. Additionally, like I said, full color Spirit Chans on there, either Sundeity or the Happy version. Just logo, small character, different styles. I already kind of asked people to kind of give us some feedbacks on a lot of stuff, and it was a lot of fun doing that. So, like I said, that's all at talkingspirit.com. Hopefully eventually the merch link will be on there, but for now, social media links, contact us buttons all up there, as well as a link to the Discord, which again, we definitely welcome everybody to jump over the Discord. We have a couple people coming from the podcast jumping on there, and we definitely appreciate you guys jumping on there. It's been a lot of fun. It takes a little bit too much time, but that's a good thing because I'm enjoying talking to people, getting the voice chat and chatting up with people. It's been a lot more engaging to connect with the community that way. Hopefully eventually it doesn't get too overwhelming, but it's been good so far. So, but yeah, as always, again, you guys can support us on our Twitch channel, again, twitch.tv/otakuspirited. Again, we're on Twitter at otakuspirited. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/otakuspirit. But yeah, thank you all for your support as always, and for following us and listening to us and watching us and also supporting us monetarily, telling other people about us. But we hope you all enjoyed, and y'all take care.
Os!
Seven up on a witch's tree. With seven seeds to plant inside of me. In springtime I grew a magic song. Then skipping along, I sang the song to everyone. I look up the world through a poor eye and cut myself a slice of sunshine pie. I dance with the peanuts butterfly.
Wonder why.